There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
You guys gave us a lot of really positive rat poison. The rat poison that you usually give us is usually fatal. But the rat poison that you put out there this week was yummy.
Yeah, so by popular demand on the social media feeds, would I open up the show with the rat poison commentary from Coach State? Of course I did. Of course I did. It's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, and glad to be here another week to work with and live local. For the next couple hours, you're a big part of the show at 251, which I guess we're all having to dial now, 343-0106. Also the same for the text line. If you got a brand new FM Talk 106.5 app, which I hope you do, you can leave us a talkback message there as well. All right, so lots to do on today's show. And as I mentioned on Twitter earlier, and I think they were talking about it during the morning show today, our leadoff batter, our guest, is one that, remember on Friday, a lot of y'all were asking about Congressman Carl and a vote and a Breitbart story that came out. And I said Congressman Carl had actually contacted me before y'all to come on and talk about it. So that's how we open up Midday Mobile on this Monday. Congressman Carl, welcome back to the show.
How are you doing, Sean?
I'm good. I'm still pretty fired up about a football game over the weekend, so I'm doing good.
I love the rat poison story. thank you for adding that to it. I love it. I'm sorry. To hear Nick Saban say anything funny is great.
Right. It's the most levity you'll get. That is the high point of levity you ever get out of Coach Saban. There it was.
Right. You're exactly right.
It was a great win and a good thing. All right, so a lot to talk about with you. I do want to lead off, though, with this conversation. I pointed out to folks on Friday that you actually contacted me. You and I were talking the other day about that Breitbart story that came out, and people were questioning about the vote and what this means for... Well, I think the headline here from Breitbart was 80 House Republicans helped pass a bill to fund federal vaccination database, and
way off a base, way off. And they have since then come back with another article and really softened it up. They all but admitted it was wrong, but I'm not one to try to correct the press. I mean, what you print or what you say, you're responsible for. But and I get a lot of information from them, so I'm really surprised how far they missed this one. But they talked to just one Republican congresswoman that had she had voted against it, and she said because she voted against it because she felt like it was a national bill. It is far from being a national bill. What this bill was set up for, when the COVID money was put together, the states have always had a system to keep up with vaccinations, tracking reports. The states have. So President Biden, with a straight line, gave them $600 million to clean up and bring up their software, their data, whatever way they needed to do it. We, the Republicans, and some of the Democrats got a little worried about, because there's no parameters on how to use that $600 million. So we actually, with this bill, have built some parameters in. It's still going to the states to help the states update their system. It has nothing to do with a federal program. It is a state-targeted program. And I challenge anyone, to read that bill and show me where it says federal program. Now, you can interpret words in there, you know, if you just want to create stuff. But the reality is it is for a state program. And we have been tracking them in the state of Alabama since 1993.
Tracking vaccines, right? Tracking all vaccines.
That's it. Tracking the vaccines. And what they're tracking is actual numbers. They're not tracking actual individual names. It's numbers that they're tracking. So we not only did we change the 600, we got it reduced down to 400 million, which is still a tremendous amount of money. Not going to argue that. But we can help these states start cleaning their information up. There is not a federal data system, nor any of this will be used for a federal data system.
If you're just joining us, talking to Congressman Jerry Carl about this vote that's dealing with state vaccines, H.R. 550. I did read, now this was in the Breitbart piece, so I want to read this to you because it says, the text specifically outlines the expansion of Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and Public Health Department capabilities and the ability for state and local health departments, as well as public and private health care providers, to share health data with the federal government. And that's something that's been sent to me. People say, but look, it says share the data with the federal government.
We've always shared data, but it's been up to the states to manage that. It's been up to the states to put the numbers together. I mean, if the federal program wants to send us more vaccines, they've got to see some data of how we've used the last, for example. I mean, you know, everybody says you have to follow the science. Okay, well, this is part of the science of the vaccine. I mean, we have to keep up with people. But again, if you'll read in that same bill there that you're reading, it says it's data only. There's no names. It's protected. It protects the names. It's numbers only.
What about
adults? So, you know, I don't want people to – I know everyone's really sensitive right now when it comes to the vaccine issue. I am too. I'm very sensitive about it. But this one is – we're totally off base. Totally off base. I said, I'm going to get you a clip, Dan Crenshaw. He explains it and spells it out. They briefed us before the vote. And like tonight, they'll brief us this afternoon on a Monday. They briefed us last Monday. They told us what was in the bill. They give us their opinion of what the bill, meaning the Republican leadership. The Republican leadership let us know it was state-driven. So that's why you see 80 that voted for it. Now, the remainder of the Republicans that voted against it, I can't tell you why. I mean, that's their business. That's okay if they want to vote against it. But what got reported in Breitbart by one individual, I mean, just changed the whole focus on this program. And it's just not right. It's not right.
So this money, Congressman, is going to the states to help them with their in-state vaccination records. And think, would this be like if there's a bad batch of vaccine went out or something like this? Is how they, I mean, what are they going to fix with it, I guess?
The state controls information to start with. There's no information kept, personal information on any children, unless it's volunteered. It has to be approved by parents. So we've got that information. If we've got bad medicine, I've owned a few pharmacies, especially injectables. But if we get bad medicine, we've got to figure out who got that bad medicine. We have to have lot numbers. We have to understand where we can get in touch with these people, what lot numbers they got. We have to be able to reach out to them. So there's a certain amount of information that has to be kept. And the state is the person is the entity that's responsible for keeping up with that. So this money goes into that program to help keep up with the vaccination portion of it. And see, this is where it really gets a little hairy, because everybody hears the word vaccination and they get, oh my gosh, you're trying to track us. Well, they've been tracking us since 1993, because they have to keep up with that information. It sets parameters. This bill will set parameters where it can only be used for that and that only. The $600 million that the president was going to use, it was unlimited. It was virtually anything they wanted to do with $600 million. So it's important that, you know, we get a say into that and try to clean that up a little bit, and that's what we did.
Congressman Carl, as you understand it, is there any place where somebody could go on to a database in Washington and access whether somebody has the COVID vaccine or not in Alabama?
No. And even the numbers that the state will provide are just numbers. There's no names. There's no Social Security numbers. There's no other information tied on to it. So let's just pull a town out. Let's say Bay Minette. Let's say Bay Minette's got a high ratio of patients. All of a sudden, they've got to figure out how many have been vaccinated there. You know, not by names but by numbers. They've got to try to figure the science out. Why there? Why not? You know, Grand Bay, Alabama. You know, right. What? Why? Yeah, I mean, it's from a science standpoint. They use these overall numbers and track. My vaccinations I've gotten have all been in Washington, D.C. So, see, my numbers don't count in Alabama.
All right. So that looking at a few more texts here, but hopefully that answers a question for folks on that vote. While I have you for a second, I was reading up on what you said to my partner, my buddy Jeff Poor, when you were on with him about the bridge and bridge funding. And you said that you thought the issue would be resolved soon. Can you tell me any more on this, Congressman?
Well, you're looking at local elected officials and state elected officials that are working together now, trying to put a bridge together, a whole new plan, not schematics, but plan as far as financing, and everyone's working together, so it's clicking. Everyone hears that. We all know that. You know, it's going to take 4 to 6 years to finish the project, if not longer, depending on the COVID. So we're all under pressure to get something started and started fast. We got $125 million allotment from the federal government that will expire in 2023. I'm doing my job here so we can keep that money through 2023 and past. So, but I'm just positive in that we've got all these elected officials that are working together in harmony. So they'll come out with something, and I think it'll be something we'll all be proud of.
Well, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. This all comes through, and that federal part, that portion you mentioned, we have to use it by when, right? It's got a shelf life on it.
It does. It does. You know, and everyone thought that I would have money in that infrastructure package, and I told everybody, don't expect it. I cannot earmark stuff up here, so it's not in there. We've got $5 billion, I think, that's coming to the state. None of it is for the bridge. So we've got to figure a way out, and it's coming together. Is all I can tell you.
Is this something we'll be talking about in the month of January, or how long do you think?
I don't want to put a time frame on it, but I think it'll be soon.
Okay. You know I'm going to try to make you put a time frame on it. You know that.
I know. You're doing your job.
All right. We'll continue to do it. Congressman Carl, I appreciate your time. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you, Sean.
Hey, you're welcome. There he is. AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl joining us. Hopefully that answered questions y'all had on the text line on that vote. We'll get your commentary when we return at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:24, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Texts are, we'll get to the text here in a second at 343-0106. Right now, I want y'all to say hello to my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM Motor Cars, home of the unicorns when it comes to vehicles. Y'all seem to find it's unicorns, but y'all find them a whole bunch.
Absolutely. We do our very, very best. As we talked about, we got a 2008 Toyota Tacoma, double cab, V6, automatic, really hard to find vehicle, and it's under $15,000.
Wow. Okay. A lot of people looking for that truck. And I think it was last time you talked, you were lining up the number of trucks you got in. And these are not just trucks. These are the trucks, like you said, with the Tacoma and all that, that people are looking for. I mean, y'all are going and finding what we want.
Yeah, we got four-wheel drives, crew cabs, extended cabs, regular cabs, SLTs loaded up. We got some base trucks loaded up. We got Toyota Tundras, Nissan Titans, Dodges, Rams. Mm. Fords, GMCs, and Chevrolets.
I love it. All right, tell folks how to come out and check out those trucks and all the other inventory at LCM.
Come see us at Highway 90 and Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Please like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM Motor Cars. All right, I'll check in on some of these texts, and we can get your phone calls, too, at 251-343-0106. I will say lots of Alabama football text. I appreciate that. It was exciting. So we had a child's play that led right up the end of the game. So we had left it with just minutes left and had the technology is a great thing. As much as we can, say, this dang stuff and the social media. Technology is, ain't it grand? Because I could just listen to it, but the wife had the phone on in the car watching the last, 2 minutes or so as we're going to the job. It was a great, great evening. All right. So Phil says, laugh out loud. I don't believe that. Why would you only have the type of vaccine, date and location, not have a name? The main information on the list being pulled from would have their name. Look at your card. Phil, I don't have a card. I'll say this, that I've never had the congressman lie to me ever. So, when something like this comes out and somebody says, well, that's not the way it is. Well, then show me how that is. I mean, just saying that, well, then you don't believe them. If he thought that this was going to be some kind of big federal overreach to have your name on some kind of computer in Washington where they could bring you up, why would he do it? Where would be the political advantage in that? Even though he's also just personally against it, at least what he said with us on the air. Where would be the advantage? All right, unnamed texter, I guess that means congressman, not think he's going to get some pushback. Let me trust the House, and why were the other House Republicans against it? Why can't you tell me why the other half of the House? Kind of get voice to text or something makes that hard. I will say that if I'm the person who votes against it, okay. If I vote against the bill, both things can be true until you boil it down to, that's why I asked the question, can somebody in Washington push a button and find out if Sean Sullivan in Mobile has been vaccinated or not? That's the question, right? In the gray area, both sides can, if you're somebody who voted against it, say I'm a House Republican who voted against it, I'm going to not only tell you I voted against it, I am going to paint it to be the biggest monstrosity ever. So you'll pat me on the back. Hey, that's our guy. Look at Sullivan's getting them. All right. If I'm somebody that voted for it, now, once again, I'm not changing the facts. I'm talking about the gray or the way it's presented or spun. Then I'm going to tell you, in fact, it's actually not what you think it is. It's this, that, or the other. I mean, this is just the way it goes. That's why you have to dig into these things and ask the pertinent question to me. And I know somebody on here said that I'm not telling the truth, or no, not that I'm not telling the truth, but that the congressman's not. Either it is or isn't. The congressman said, I asked him point blank, are you on a registry with my name that somebody in Washington can access and see if I've had the vaccine? He said no several times. Dan said, I do trust Dan Crenshaw. Yeah, Dan Crenshaw had a same message as Congressman Carl on that. Jason says, I have a card with a name, etc., through Providence Hospital. Okay, well, I do not. Yeah, somebody's saying immunization registries exist at the state level. Absolutely. The congressman said that. He said that's been going on since 1993. He said that's been going on since 93. That hasn't changed. That wasn't something new added by this bill. So we'll keep looking at it. You can bring me, if you bring me the other side of it, then we'll present that to the congressman and get him to answer it. And that's what we're here for. All right. Coming up in a second, too, my buddy Brian Kane from Fairhope Brewing Company is going to join us. Tomorrow night, and we'll talk about this at length here in a second, but tomorrow night, back for the guest bartenders of Christmas. I think this is our third or fourth year doing this. I think third year, maybe. It's a lot of fun. So this year, we're bringing, and maybe my man Jeff can be there. It's close to his house. My man Jeff Poor and Dan and Dalton from Mobile Mornings. We can come out and see us tomorrow night at Fairhope Brewing Company starting at 6. We will be serving your beers. We've been training, so we'll be serving your beers, and all the tips go to Team Fight or Die. That is the Vet Road charity. You've heard my buddy Bryant Knight on talking about it many times. They are the benefactor of this year's Big Tippers, and that's you, tomorrow night. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. Plus, I promised y'all like a week and a half ago when I said we got that Salt Dome conversation because of the strategic oil reserve. And I said, I'm pretty interested in these salt domes. We got them around here. What's the whole story? Geologist extraordinaire, our buddy Dr. Alex Beebe from the University of South Alabama will join us in hour number two of the show as well.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Hey, y'all, I'm Sean. Before we get, Brian Kane's going to join us in just a second from Fairhope Brewing Company, but I want to just point this out because I wrote it down as a note, and this is just, you know, it's a transitional time of year here into the holidays officially, and how do you know you're moving in truly to the Christmas season? How do you know that? I saw it, and it's happened. So it's happened here over the last 2 weeks. I was out of town last week for a bulk of it, but I came back in, and gone are the pictures of really, this is based around ladies, which dominate a lot of my attention. Ladies, y'all have transitioned from using on Facebook the pictures of you standing in the cotton field by yourself in your Western wear or with the family, right? You transition from that to putting on the Rudolph nose and antlers on your vehicle. That's how I know truly we've moved from really the fall, Thanksgiving, kind of harvest season into Christmas. That is, I follow that. So moms all over Mobile and Baldwin County have moved away from the posting of the here I am in the cotton field picture to slapping the Rudolph nose and antlers on the SUV or minivan and riding around town. So Merry Christmas, everybody. Tis the season. All right. Speaking of which, it's time to talk about what we're doing tomorrow night with the man who makes this thing all possible, Brian Kane with Fairhope Brewing Company. Hey, man.
How you doing, Sean?
I'm good. So I think this is either maybe a lack of judgment on your hand. This is, you're inviting us back year after year to do this, and I worry about that. I mean, with all that we've destroyed and bad beers we poured, and you know, you still keep having us back.
Well, you know, the theory we have is that when our guest bartenders are pouring just half beers, the consumer doesn't complain because of all the foam, and it saves us a little bit of money on the other end. So it evens out with the beer you spill, I think.
Well, you spill, yes. And after I finish bartending, I may spill some in my mouth as well. It's really a great event, and I've had fun doing it over the years. Tell folks, I mean, we're going to be out there tomorrow night. We're raising money for Team Fight or Die. But we're not the only ones. Y'all do this with different groups, different individuals coming out to raise money for charity.
That's right. We've done this about 7 years now. We skipped last year with everything going on, but we are back strong this year. It runs, you guys are kicking us off. You're almost always our first group to come out. You know, like to set the bar really low at the beginning so we don't have to put a lot of pressure on the rest of the guys.
Right.
But we're running it basically on every Tuesday and Wednesday through December 19th, which is our last one on a Sunday. We've got a wide range of folks from you to Father Steve Williams and Father Gill here from St. Lawrence Church, a couple of doctors that are friends of ours. The Fairhope City Council is coming out one night, and a lot of great charities on here too. All local charities as well, which is great. Helping, you know, local groups, you know, heading into the holidays, it's a great boost for those guys.
For sure, and you know, I said this so many times last year. I'll continue to say it this year so people can double up this year, that even though events like the Guest Bartenders of Christmas was off for y'all and so many charity events, they couldn't have their banquets or their whatever they do, they were all still helping out in the community. They still had the demands on their charities, even though their regular method of raising funds was gone. So I know it sounds cliche, but it's more important than ever to help out your charities this year.
That's exactly right. And, you know, one of the things that we do here is we make beer. So we've got a lot of pull to try and encourage people to give back. We've got a good platform for it. So You know, having you guys out, we love having, you know, these our various local celebs come out. And again, all tips, credit card, cash, however they are, all tips during your time bartending and everyone else's times from 6 to 8 will go directly to that charity. So, you know, you usually give me an address and I mail a check a day or two later. So it's a quick turnaround. It goes straight to the charity. There's no administrative fees or anything like that. It is whatever you guys raise, we send to the charity.
I tell you what, and the FM Talk 106.5 audience has been, it's been great over the years. You come out and have a big time, a lot of laughs, and stuff those tip jars full and help out the charities. I love it. You know, we're both talking about both local companies, you and we like local, you know, we like to do our business local. And I'm launching today for the, I think, the fifth or sixth year in a row, my locals only Christmas list. And y'all make that list every year. So let me do this. I often, when I get somebody on, I'll say, what's the pro tip, right? And you got the pro tip. If somebody's going to use my suggestion as one of the Christmas gifts to pick up some Fairhope Brewing Company beer, like what should, if even if somebody's like not in, they don't know beer, but they know the person they're buying for is into beer, like give me a pro tip, what should they come in and ask for?
I'll tell you one of the great things we have, we've just put back out in six packs, we do it every year around November, December, is our Judge Roy Beam, which is a coffee stout, a bit of the namesake back to the old Daphne establishment there that we all grew up hanging out at.
Yep.
And we actually use beans from Fairhope Roasting, which is right down the street from us, and cold brew some coffee here, infuse our stout with that cold brew coffee. Makes for a great breakfast beer if you need a little something, you know, on the 25th when the kids are opening the presents. It's a good morning beer to have. It's a good night beer. But, yeah, it is ultra local. We make it all here. We brew that coffee here, but we get the beans from our friends down the street. So it's a great option. We just put it on the shelf last Thursday, so it's super fresh as well.
Okay, so somebody can come by and pick it up, and that six-pack rated for just to put the bow on it. I don't have to wrap it. I just put the bow on it and deliver it.
Yeah, it comes wrapped. Yeah, it looks great. Looks great wrapped with our Judge Pelican on there. And we also have that. We'll have that out at stores, too, whether you're Piggly Wiggly, Ralph's, Publix, those kind of places. So even if you can't make it over here, there are plenty of places around Baldwin and Mobile counties you can pick it up.
All right, so I can pour some of that tonight?
Well, tomorrow night, but yeah.
Tomorrow night, yeah, not tonight. Yeah. Tomorrow night,
yeah, we'll let you get one of those going.
Okay, good deal. Brian, as always, man, I appreciate you, and I can't wait to see you tomorrow night.
All right, Sean, thanks so much. We'll see you guys.
See you. So, Brian Kane, Fairhope Brewing Company. And, yeah, we're there from 6 to 8, maybe even after tomorrow night, as we do the guest bartenders at Christmas. And, y'all, seriously, I mean, this isn't blowing smoke. I don't blow a lot of smoke. Y'all are great. Y'all are great in anything we've done. When we've had really needed help raising money for local charities, y'all just step up. And it's what a charity as well, Team Fight or Die. You've heard our discussion of these are the veterans that row across the Atlantic. To bring attention, they train right here, Buccaneer Yacht Club. Bryant Knight, my buddy, the founder of this, lives right here. And it's a fantastic charity, and your chance to come out tomorrow night and hear more about their story and help them out as we do the guest bartender, Bartenders at Christmas. And we are loaded this year. I mean, if Jeff comes out, maybe he can give me a nod. If Jeff's coming out, that's four of us, which means I can take it easy and just pour like a beer, one beer every, there's some years that two hours goes by in like 10 seconds because we're so busy. But y'all try to make it out there tomorrow night. We'll see you out at Fairhope Brewing Company. All right, on the list here, the gubernatorial thing, I know Jeff talked about it and so did the morning show, but let's circle back around. So Lindy and Jimmy now in the gubernatorial race. So you've got, you say Lindy. Well, Linda Blanchard, I guess, is now rebranding and I guess to the people who know her, she goes as Lindy. So she's going to be Linda Blanchard, or as we're told, it's going to be Lindy Blanchard, is reported to be entering the gubernatorial race. The paperwork is filed, okay? And then there's an announcement coming up. Jeff reported this over at Yellowhammer. The announcement's supposed to be tomorrow, I think, in Wetumpka. Yeah, so she will announce her. Yeah, Jeff writes here, sources familiar with Blanchard's efforts tell Yellowhammer News that former U.S. Ambassador to Slovenia will formally announce her intentions at an event at the Jeanette Barrett Civic Room in Wetumpka on Tuesday morning. Is you make a splash in the, I guess you get the news cycle all day. I don't know. We'll see what she does on a gubernatorial side. I have been less than impressed with her effort on the Senate side. And there is a little thing inside me. I've tried to get over this because I want to do all interviews as fair as I can in this gubernatorial cycle. But, like, when somebody's running for something and then they all of a sudden say, well, I'll run for that other thing. I know I shouldn't have this hang up, but I do. It's kind of this like, oh, what are you running for? What do you got? I'll run for that. There's something about that. And maybe there's no reason for me to be bothered by it, but it does do it. And then of course, Tim James is in the mix as well. He is, you know, he has been on this station flirting, coming as close to announcing that he was running for governor. He had a press conference up in Montgomery. We all thought it was going to be the announcement, but it wasn't. But once again, the update here, no formal announcement, but the paperwork's filed with Alabama Secretary of State's office for former gubernatorial candidate Tim James to run for office again. So some new names, and this could be at the end of the, you know, could be at the end of the week. We have, you know, tomorrow for Lindy Blanchard and maybe a presser or something. Because it says a note here that Tim James was not planning to announce his campaign until January. But he's really in right now. So there we go. So that now we have a little bit of a crowd in the gubernatorial cycle. I heard, you know, Jeff talking about it as well in his conversation with Dale Jackson. I don't know. I think this makes it more interesting. I mean, the idea of just having one person, and I don't know, you know, Governor Ivey did not debate before. Hopefully there's enough people in this mix, and maybe looking at runoffs when you have this many people in that you do have some debates. You do have some reason for Governor Ivey to get up and talk about her ideas. Of course, her ad ran during the SEC championship the other night. I don't know. I guess I shouldn't have expected anything else, but I mean, did y'all watch that ad? Anybody on the text line, did you watch the ad? Have you gone back and watched it? Did anything in the ad make you go, holy cow, that's a lot different? If you're going to do an ad, I guess it's just a way to, here, we'll play the ad. We'll play the ad. Okay, here's the audio. Let's play the ad, and then we'll react here in just a second after we play the ad, because I want you to hear this, and then tell me at what point during hearing the ad that you say, wow, I didn't know that was a thing.
Sometimes it's like the world's gone crazy. Thank God we live in Alabama. There's no critical race theory in our schools. I signed the strongest pro-life law in America. I stood with Trump to ensure no election here can ever be stolen. And we created thousands of new jobs. Here in Alabama, we pray to God, protect life, and honor freedom. And as your governor, we always will.
Okay. So, and I believe all those things from Governor Ivey. I believe obviously the things she voted for and did, those are factual. And then her beliefs, I believe those are her beliefs. But are they not the beliefs of any of the other candidates for governor of the state? I mean, are they, any of them would come out and say, no, I'm not for faith and for family and for freedom. I'm against that. We'll see when we get into next year if this steps up. Gets a little more interesting. All right, get your calls and texts when we return. 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1250 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile. Several of y'all pointed out the banjos in the background of Governor Ivey's ad that ran over the weekend. I didn't even pick out the banjos. I should have. It seems beyond patronizing. Of course, I'm very sensitive to patronizing stuff. And Jeff reminded me here too. I should have thought about that, because I got this issue where people switch and run for something else, and maybe I shouldn't. Maybe it's not a big deal. It's just a thing I have where somebody's running for one office and they go, well, I can't win that one, but I'm going to run for this one. What do you got? Jeff says Kay Ivey was running for governor in 2010 when she swapped mid-cycle to run for lieutenant governor versus incumbent Little Jim Folsom. So, maybe I'll have to, people can psychoanalyze me on the text line, 343-0106, why that bothers me. But it does. Does it bother y'all at all? where somebody's running for something and like they see they can't win, and then there's another open race and they go, oh, I'm running for that now. That's where my heart really is. I told you earlier my heart was really with being a senator for the state, but what it really is being governor. It's just that, hey, I want to run for something. That's what it is. My friend Supermom said the ad sounded like we're hillbillies in Alabama. I was not impressed. Yep. Grant says, of course, she had to have banjos playing in the background. Great. Wonder what the optics of that could be. Jeez. Tony in Fairhope, I wish Kamala would run to the border. Yeah, unnamed texter said, not a fan either. And this is not like a commentary on the actual candidate. It's just, it's the patronizing stuff. If there was ever an ad that came out and said, listen, if they had a 60 or a 30 and came out in the beginning and said, yo, I'm pro-life, I'm Second Amendment, I love this state, you know, and I have conservative values. Now, let's talk to how I'm going to make Alabama better. Like, I go, how about, you know, have them stop and go, how much time do I have left? 20 seconds. All right, here's how I'm going to make Alabama better. I would love that ad. I would love that. David says, running for one race and then deciding you can't win that race and running for another is called I have money and I'm trying to buy elected office. Maybe there's some of that going on in there. All right, this is part of a bigger story. It's part of a way bigger story, but point out this. Y'all have heard me for, 10, 12 years, 13 years on this show and other shows I did, beyond sickened with gun violence, especially when it affects, all the time, when it affects innocence, right? And then beyond that, when there are children, I lose my mind. And we have more of those cases. And over the weekend, I'll say no more than the fact that the 9-year-old that was shot inside his home on Friday night is a kid known to me. Kid gets shot in the arm. Dirtbags are shooting it out in Midtown. Bullet goes through the house and strikes his child, a 9-year-old boy, in the arm. I know we go through this discussion. I know I have the folks come on from law enforcement. I thought a pretty frank discussion with Captain Paul Birch with Mobile County Sheriff's Office about this. He's going to be back on tomorrow. Sarah Kalian, the cold case investigator that y'all love so much, she's back on tomorrow. And Captain Paul Birch is going to be on with us as well. And we'll discuss this more. But it's hit me close to home for over a decade because this is my home. This is where I live. But I know the boy that was shot Friday night, and I am pissed off even more than normal. God bless, am I? Go to the phone. Jay is in Mobile. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Sean, it's time that we retook our country. We've been sitting on those sidelines, not getting the game, and some things that need to be said are the bottom line are this. You know, in the movie Shane tells a woman guns don't kill people. Guns are a tool, like a hammer or a shovel. It's only good as bad as the person that uses it. And what we focused on are the wrong things in this country. We don't have a gun problem. We have a criminal problem. And two words that I don't ever want to hear again are the words COVID-19 or white supremacy. We are destroying our country over things that don't matter and looking to the past 150 years to find something to complain about, where if we just opened our eyes, we have so much we need to work on, it's not even funny. The police aren't the problem. Bad police are problems, but the overwhelming majority are good, hardworking people. And now one thing that's wonderful about San Francisco is everyone's good for something, and San Francisco is good as an example of what happens when you take off law and order. Thank you, Sean, and God bless you. I think you got a wonderful program, and thank you for letting people call in and voice their opinion like me.
Thank you, Jay. Leaves the line open at 343-0106. It's not this idea that we've not had crime before and we've not had gun violence before is not true. I mean, you look back how bad it was in the 80s. But that's not, I'm not going to say, oh, well, it was bad back then, so it's okay. It's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. And I realize the extremely hard task that law enforcement has in doing this. At the same time, you got people like me that want to make sure we protect our civil liberties, right? I get it. I make it's a tough seesaw to balance. But something. So just the general gunplay that goes on, I know, and somebody will text in and say, well, look, it's happening in this city and that city. I don't live there. I'm sad for that place, too. But this is my home. And I got a note from somebody the other day. Another anonymous note came in and said, they appreciate what I say. I thank you for appreciating it, but I'll keep saying it. I mean, this is my home. I'm going to fight for my home. And that's, this is where I live. I'm not moving somewhere else. This is where I live. This is what we're going to fix. That's how I see it. A bunch more texts here. Let's see. No regard for human life. And the life of innocence. It's almost to a point where I capitulate that these dirtbags don't have a respect for life of their fellow bad guy. Well, but they have no respect for the life of everybody else. Supermom, I don't know. She said, what can we do regarding this gun violence? What is the answer? Is there one? It's getting absurd, but what is the answer? Great question. That's why I asked the question. I mean, if you go back and listen to a conversation I had probably 3 weeks ago with Captain Paul Birch, which, by the way, 55 hours a week of podcasts we put up here. Locally owned radio station, local host, local podcast, all from FM Talk 106.5 studios right here at Airport and 65. He got pretty frank about it, and I'll have that discussion with him tomorrow because he's back tomorrow with Sarah Kalian. And so we'll get in this discussion again with him. He's been, out of all the people I've talked to on the show, the man that's put the hay down there where the horses can get after it. So we'll have that conversation again tomorrow. All right, coming back after the break. This conversation I had last week, week before last. Remember when we released, a day's worth, a day and a half's worth of our petroleum reserves? And that story came out and everybody talked about the politics of it. But, it went back to, they're stored in salt domes. And I got in a salt dome discussion with y'all, and I said I'd get somebody on here who's a pro at it. Dr. Alex Beebe from the University of South Alabama will join us in just a few minutes here to talk about those salt domes.